Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Moses is giving continual reasons why not to do God's call.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor completes his brief look at model difference makers by turning to the Old Testament example of Moses and seeing how God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives, as he did for the life of Moses.
When you look at Exodus chapter 2, what I see to be three common mistakes that we make, just as Moses made, who was really a difference maker. He was a man among millions of people, and God stepped down and said, I'm going to use you to impact a nation. And his own relationship as a young man was inadequate, and one in which there were many difficulties. And yet, you find Moses meeting God in Exodus chapter 3 and becomes an illustration for us that God wants to take us just like bushes and looking for something to ignite and a passion and a fire for God. Do you remember the story in Exodus chapter 3 that Moses, when he kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, in verse 1, the priest of Midian, and as he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And here you find the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. This is the time in which God was again showing himself to Moses and reminding him, I have a call on you. I have a task for you to do. And Moses, looking at this very unusual sight, realized that this is something that was arresting his attention, and this is something so odd and out of the ordinary that it caused him to stop everything else and realize, this is a moment that God is doing something in my life. This is how it is with you and with me. Take the idea of this burning bush, and this is what God wants to do with your life. He wants to end up igniting a passion for him and for others to be able to draw into it, just as Moses was drawn to this bush. Now, there are common mistakes that happen. Here's God, kind of an overview, looking at Moses' life, and the common mistakes that he made are so typical for us, that we end up really many times putting out the fire that God put in us because some common mistakes. These are the three. Number one, here's what happened with Moses. When you end up finding Moses here in chapter 2, verse 11, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, and that he went out into the brethren, he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, which, by the way, is a clue. Don't be doing what you're thinking about doing if you're going to look this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. And out of that story, you know the story of Moses, that he now flees from Pharaoh. This is what I see very simply. Number one, is that you end up finding that we run before we are sent. What was going on with Moses? He knew he was called. He knew that he was supposed to be in a place to be the deliverer. And the reality is, it's the first major mistake we make. And as a younger, more confident, more headstrong Moses had done those 40 years before this encounter at the bush, that God hadn't sent him. Not yet, but he ran ahead. And having run before he sent, we end up just as he was in the ditch. And what we do, we try to find the very smallest little place that we can find and go off and crawl away in a hole, and we don't want to ever do that again. And so we just pull way back, and that's exactly what you find with Moses, to the point that in verse 15 of chapter 2, we find that when Pharaoh heard this, Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. And he goes the rest of the story, verse 15, all the way down through 22, that you find that he was in a desert place. And the problem is that he is not now just in intensity and he needed to be patient, but the problem was he was very inadequate. That we run before we're sent, we retreat after we fail, and then you find lastly Moses of resisting when he was called. And he was holding back from what God put on his life and put him in a place to say, I want you to do this, Moses. I am that I am. You are standing on holy ground and take off your shoes, which is an act of submission. And it's interesting, the dialogue that God has with Moses that reassures us like a heavenly father trying to encourage Moses after the pride and after the discouragement, now he's dealing with fear. And he was afraid. Or in other words, the problem was he was insecure. Here's God telling Moses, Moses, I want you to go and I want you to end up being the leader. And verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh? And this is the first of four good reasons why not to go into the ministry. Moses found himself saying to God, who am I? And the reasons he is very simply, I'm a nobody. God answers that in saying, verse 12, I'll be with you. Don't be insecure. Don't be fearful. I'll be with you. And then Moses said, well, God, behold, when I come to the children, they're going to say, who shall I say to them? What is his name? And God said to Moses, I am that I am, verse 14. I am that has sent me unto you. Then you end up finding Moses again saying, the second reason, listen, I don't know what I'm going to say. You end up moving down with all of this. You end up finding the rest of the dialogue in chapter 4, 1, when Moses said, but behold, thou wilt not believe me. They're not going to believe me. And Moses is giving continual reasons why not to do God's call. God, in his infinite patience, continually works forward with Moses, giving him a visual illustration of the rod and changing it. And ultimately, Moses again says in verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord of chapter 4, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither hereto nor since you have spoken unto your servant. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. He even asked, please, get my brother involved, would you? Get Aaron out there. And you know what? For any one of us that deals with this whole problem of insecurity, it's a good reminder that God himself says, listen, if I called you, I promise I will do it through you. Corrie Ten Boom, who's a godly, godly lady, years ago made this statement, and I think it is so true. She said, God has plans, not problems, for our lives. The life of a Christian is an education for a higher service. God is training you for something. This is a common problem. If it was with Moses in pride and discouragement and fear, and it was with Peter, who you used, they both found themselves in a place of just saying, I'm available, be available. Just because you feel an intensity, be patient. Just because for many people they feel inadequate or they feel insecure, God, just like he did with Moses, says, you be like that burning bush. You be available. I will burn my life in and through you. And he doesn't care about the bush. He cares about his glory. He loves you as a person. He wants to show himself so mighty through you. Many, many times we give 101 reasons why we can't do this. This text for my wife and I was very meaningful because we were reading through the Bible together that one year in 1981 when a camp from northeastern Wisconsin called and said, we need a camp director. And I only said yes to go up just because we didn't have any money to do any vacations. I thought, well, they're going to pay for us to go up and visit up there in godforsaken Dunbar, Wisconsin, wherever that is. I said, well, let's just go and give us a week away from the wilds, which is where we were working and planned to stay on staff there. We spent the week there. They said, would you please come? I said, man, I can't make that decision right now. We need at least a week to pray about it. We came back. We were in that little one-room apartment that my wife and I stayed for 6 months, and we were reading through Scripture just like this, and I was reading the same Scripture I just read to you. My wife said, sounds like somebody I know. Because I had just given her about 10 reasons why I'm the guy, 25, that should not go do that. And I came this close from saying, let's get him somebody else. Now, all I'm saying to you, many of you have the same similar looking at God wants to use you. It might not be full-time service, but it's certainly full-time ministry. All of you are in that. How many times is it that God has prompted your heart, I want you to say this to this coworker. I want you to step out. You get involved. Here's a need at the church. You need to do this. And our tendency is, Look, there's look at all these other people. Everybody else can go do this. I don't have this. I can't do this. I'm inadequate. I'm insecure. And you might be. Join the party. What does that have to do with anything? Most of the time on Sunday morning, I sit right there and I think, you know what, Lord, there's plenty of other people that can preach. I don't need to be preaching. That's my general thought. And then I come back to point, okay, God, this is what you asked me to do. You ask most people serving the Lord, they'd say the same thing. And if they are otherwise saying, hey, I'm the man, I can do this, and I'll be the leader, and I'm in charge, and they're most of the guys that aren't doing it because God can't trust them. Listen, some of you are incredibly talented. God has given you unbelievable gifts. And you know what? God could take it away just like that. He's given it to you so that you would be able to magnify the Lord wherever it is. I'm not talking about full-time service. I'm talking about full-time ministry. We all have that ministry of reconciliation. Taking people we know that are in enmity with God, they are God's enemy, and wanting to make friends. God wants them to be friends. He proved it by giving his own son. You need to understand, God has the big picture for you. Many of you can look back on your own life when you were a kid or a teenager and think, you know what? Unbelievable. He wants to use you, and you might not ever be a Moses because there's never going to be another Moses. But there might be you in your family. Some of you have family that are unsaved. You're the only living Bible they're reading. And it's not even about that. It might be that God does prolong and extend his mercy because he's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. The reality is that God's extending this so that others would come to Christ. I would encourage you, when you get the big picture, you'd end up finding something as simple as even a poem that Amy Carmichael, as a young teenager, before ever going to a field she never realized she'd be at in India for all of those years, as a teenager, penned these words when she said, "Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God." It might be that you're doing all that you need to be doing, but I know my desire is to be able to encourage you and motivate you. What is it that God else wants you to do? Make yourself available. Maybe you're young and you're impatient. Be patient. Maybe you are inadequate. You need to be strong. Maybe you are insecure and fearful. You make yourself available. I promise you, God will use you. I'm thankful also that years later, Amy Carmichael made the statement, "A cup of sweet water could never spill a drop of bitter water, no matter how heavily it was jolted." As many times God jolts us, and he bumps us to see what's inside. And I pray the Spirit of God, that sweet water, if he wants to be able to use it, you would be able to spill that out on other people.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.